If you have a Bible with you tonight, if you will take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As you know, here on Wednesday nights, we've been going through a short series. This will conclude our series, but we've been going through a short series on Satan's schemes in the Corinthian church. We've looked at several of those. We've thought about his work outside of the church to blind the hearts and minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Every unbeliever that you meet, every unbeliever that you know, your family, your friends, your enemies, Satan has a role in their lives to blind them to Christ. Sometimes it's opening their eyes to the loves and treasures of this world or their own sin, but he's at work. We've seen also among the people of God, inside the church, Satan is at work in the church with unforgiveness. When there are broken relationships and an unwillingness to forgive, an unwillingness to confess sin, you can be sure that Satan, well, maybe not Satan, you know, he's got demons, but it is his work in the church to keep our relationships fractured, unforgiveness. He not only tempts us not to forgive, but he uses false teaching in the church to, as we saw last week, to turn Christians away from being devoted to Jesus Christ. Tonight, we want to look at chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, and what we see here is that Satan is at work in suffering. Satan is at work in suffering. And we see this not with the Corinthian church, but with Paul. So look at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Let's read together verses 1 to 10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, how fitting and suited it is for our souls. Lord, we pray that through your word tonight, by your Spirit, you would make us aware of Satan's schemes in our own suffering. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us by your grace. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we thought a little bit about last week, you'll remember that there are these super apostles there in the Corinthian church. That's what they like to call themselves anyways. They're like the superheroes of the apostolic band and really they're false teachers. And they like to talk big. In fact, when you have very little, often our words are very big, aren't they? You know, we have to compensate. And this is what they're doing. They are boasting about being true Jews. They are boasting about being descended from Abraham. They're boasting because they've got financial backing. The big wigs in Corinth have put stock in them and are paying their bills. They're boasting because they're trained speakers. They've gone to school to speak in public. It was a degree you could get. And those kind of guys, they often got big checks because, well, they were good and they were persuasive. And it was a way that they made a living. Only now, they've co-opted the gospel. They've twisted that gospel and tainted it. And now they're marketing it and selling it. And they're gaining a following among the Corinthian Christians. They're boasting that they're really servants of Jesus. And all the while they're saying, but Paul, that guy, he's not. So what does Paul do? He says, well, you want to play the boasting game. You want to talk big. Well, I'm going to boast, but I'm going to boast in nothing but my weaknesses. The weakness of ridicule, the weakness of being rejected by Jews and Gentiles, the weakness of his lack of professional training in rhetoric as a speaker, the weakness of poverty, the weakness of persecutions, the weakness of anxiety as he is brokenhearted and anxious for all the churches, their spiritual well-being. And if those guys want to boast about all their visions and their revelations, well, Paul, he will boast. But he says, you know, he's going to boast about his weakness, all of them. And here he begins to boast about being tormented by demons, and that at the hand of God in order to keep him humble and not proud. What do we do when we suffer? What are we to make out of it? How are we to handle it? The warning as we enter into study tonight is that often Satan or his demons are right around the corner to tempt us in our time of suffering. And here we learn some valuable lessons from Paul. So with that background to his boasting here, you remember he's got the ministry of sarcasm going on. Let's look at our passage. Chapter 12, you remember there in verses 1 to 6 as we read, Paul is going to boast. He says, oh, you guys want to boast? Well, let me start talking big also. And going on about visions and dreams, these false teachers are boasting, these revelations, a word from the Lord. Paul says, you know, at the end of the day, that's fruitless to justify your ministry. All that talk about God revealing things to you in dreams and visions, that you got a word from the Lord, at the end of the day, that does not make you a legitimate minister, an apostle of Jesus. In fact, when you look at Colossians chapter 2 and Jude verses 8 and 9, you see that often those who are talking big about a word from the Lord, about visions and revelations, those are the people you want to be careful about. So Paul says, listen, okay, you want to boast? Okay, well, let's just say there's this guy. And, you know, you get the idea, well, he's talking about himself, that he's been taken up to the third heaven, the highest of heavens. And he has seen things that Paul says, I can't even talk about. Whether this guy was in his body or not, is just a vision, I don't even know. God knows, but I cannot talk about it. It was so spectacular. these profound spiritual experiences, Paul says, listen, I've had them, but I can't say anything about them. Isn't that really the nature of true humility? And Paul's lips are on lockdown by a word from God. He can't talk about what he has seen, what God has shown him. And at the end of the day, he says, you know, all in all of these things really mean nothing when it comes to gospel ministry. People talking about all kinds of stuff, it doesn't mean they're legitimate. Profound spiritual experiences are actually nothing to boast of. But Paul says, listen, owning our weaknesses and in our weakness, Jesus being seen as strong, well, that's what we want to talk about. And if that's what we want to talk about, I've got a whole list for you. He's been rejected. He's been ridiculed. He's been insulted. He's had hardships, calamities, betrayals, beatings. Weaknesses, Paul's got them. He's unable at times to make spiritual good happen for other people. He's already admitted, I can't change the heart. The only thing I can do is speak the gospel. I am powerless to reach in and change a dead heart and make it live. Poverty, dangers, derailments, all of this for following Jesus, that's my list. That's my resume. That's what I've got to offer. And at the end of the day, what Paul says is, if you want to boast about being a genuine apostle, show me your brand marks for Jesus. Show me your suffering. Because that's what Jesus was marked by. And it's no surprise that those who follow Jesus are going to be marked by suffering. So, let me ask you a question. What are your weaknesses? What are your hardships? What are your inabilities? What are your physical difficulties? What are your afflictions? What's the turmoil in your soul? Some of these things we don't want anyone to know about. We feel as though if we were to open up, we'd be embarrassed. But that's what Paul's doing. Do you have weaknesses? Well, affliction and satanic attack, they both happen to the best of Christians. They happen to Paul. You got weaknesses? You're in good company. You're tempted in your weaknesses to doubt God, to be derailed from following Jesus. You're in good company. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, and this is where we want to spend the bulk of our time, verses 7 to 10. In verse 7, we see the sources and the purposes of suffering. Now, you know, often, and this is a good statement, I'm not sure really why I'm suffering. You know, often that's the way it is. I don't know why this is happening. I'm not really sure. We're not really sure of all the purposes, but let me encourage you, you can be certain of a few. We may not be aware of everything God is up to or Satan is up to in our hardship and in our suffering, but we can be certain of a few. Here in verse 7, we see the sources, there are two, and the purposes of suffering. Verse 7, we see that spiritual privilege can be a temptation to pride. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited or puffed up, inflated with myself, with these visions, with the revelations, with my spiritual experiences, with my closeness to Jesus, to keep me from being puffed up, Paul says, conceited. Some things came my way. So we can be reminded here that spiritual privilege can also be a temptation to pride. Is God at work in your life? Are you getting closer to Jesus? Are you conquering areas of sin in your life? Is God using you? He seems to have his hand on you and people are benefiting from your ministry. Well, we should be warned that spiritual experiences can also be a temptation to become prideful. In fact, he says that at the beginning of verse 7 and at the end of verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, what does God do to keep him from becoming conceited? Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. To prevent Paul from becoming proud and to promote humility. Notice Paul has not become proud yet. God in mercy oftentimes will cut off our pride before it's able to blossom and flourish. This is a mercy. So Paul says, hey, look, to keep me, because I'm tempted, to keep me from becoming proud and conceited because of these spiritual experiences, a thorn. God gave me a thorn. It was given to me in my flesh. That is my body. Something happened. We don't know. Many have speculated. We don't know, but something happened to his body. I mean, you look at his list of persecutions and hardships, and obviously, the man probably did not walk straight. He'd been beaten so many times. He probably didn't sleep well at night. He probably looked deformed and beat up. We don't really know, but something happened to his body, which was from God. Does Satan want you to become proud? Oh, yeah. Is he interested in promoting humility in your life? Oh, no. So the thorn first, the source of the thorn first is from God to protect him from pride and promote humility or dependence upon God, a right view of oneself, a right view of others, a right view of God. The thorn comes. It is a weakness. It's a problem. It's a crutch. It hinders. It's an obstacle. It causes problems. I can't do what I used to do. There are obstacles now. I feel weak. And yet God gave it to him. Because God is more concerned about the heart of Paul than his spiritual success. He's more concerned about humility, promoting it, pride, fighting it in our lives, protecting us from it. He's more concerned about our hearts than he is about any kind of external successes. And so the thorn comes. Why? Humility. Protection from pride, which was the devil's stumbling block. Now look at the other source. Verse 7, a thorn was given to me in my flesh. Notice what he says now about this thorn, this barb, this stake in his body, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Your translation might have torment me or hinder me. A messenger of Satan to harass me. So you see that Satan has jumped on this bandwagon. And it is as if, yes, this is ultimately from God, but Satan has put his hand on the stick and driven it into the body of Paul. What is Satan's purpose? So there are purposes. God is to promote humility and protect us from pride. Satan's purpose is to harass or torment, or create an obstacle to us trusting Jesus, following Jesus, walking with Jesus. It is to cause us to doubt God in our problems. He would rather promote pride. Can I just tell you that's what unbelief is? Distrusting God, even to the point where we grow deeply into despair. What is despair? It is sort of a galvanizing of unbelief that God can't deliver and God can't help. He's left me alone. He's not looking to my good anymore. He has left me. I am despairing. Well, this is Satan's intent. He's grabbing that thorn then and he's driving it deep in Paul to hurt him, torment him, hinder him from trusting God and then from ministering to others. Maybe you're reminded at this point of Job. You remember the sons of God appear in the throne room of God. Where have you been? Job says, from roaming the earth. And do you remember what God does? Have you considered my servant Job? Satan says, well, he just worships you because you give him all that stuff. You take all his stuff away, and he's going to curse you to your face. And God says, you can go this far, and that's it. You see that God is sovereign in the suffering, but Satan is the one who has put his hand to the stake, the thorn, to drive it into Job. And what is Satan aiming to do? Take that stuff away? Make him sick? And he will curse you to your face. That's his whole purpose. Pride, unbelief, despair, an abandoning of God. And yet we see from Paul, God is working to promote humility and protect from pride. So friends, Satan's work, it may not be obvious to us, but he is tempting. He is tempting in hardship and affliction. He is tempting. He intends us to doubt God, to be driven to despair by his harassments and his obstacles. But friends, know that God who is in control here, he intends our good and our growth. God is working for your good, even when you feel the hand of the enemy on the thorn. And notice what God does. Look at verses 8 to 10. So verse 7, the sources and the purposes of suffering. Verses 8 to 10, we see the sufficiency of God's strengthening grace. Verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. What does Paul do? Well, he does what any one of us to do when it's bad. He's praying. And he's praying for relief, isn't he? He's praying that this minister of Satan, this messenger of Satan with this thorn in his hand would be removed. Before we go any further, let me just encourage you. It is right to pray, as Paul did, that God would rescue us. Okay? So hear Paul. I prayed three times that this would leave me. Paul prays for the thorn to be removed. He probably is praying for some kind of healing in his body. The answer to Paul's prayer is not exactly what he was wanting. Look at verse 9. But he said to me, he said to the one who had all of these experiences of intimacy with Jesus, the revelations, the visions, but he said to me, notice what, so remember he said, look, what I saw up there in the third heaven, no one can say. My lips are locked. I'm forbidden from telling you what happened up there. But let me tell you what Jesus said. You get it? So revelations in heaven, he can't tell anybody. But he can tell us the revelation Jesus gives to him in his suffering as he prayed. Let me tell you, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. This was the answer. It wasn't healing. Healing wasn't sufficient to protect Paul from pride and promote humility. No, he needed strengthening, sufficient grace in his weakness. This was necessary. It was his power being made perfect in Paul's life, even though his power did not heal that specific thorn, that specific problem, as Satan was driving it into his body and he felt every turn. It was not removed. He was indeed weak, and yet it's in weakness that God's power is made clear. It's sufficient. It is being perfected. And this probably crippled, beaten, afflicted, rejected, abused, ridiculed person is the reason you're sitting here hoping and trusting in Jesus. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He, along with his band, are pushing the gospel borders further and further out of Jerusalem. And it was a result of his work and the work of many others, but his work also that you're trusting in Jesus. That's power, brothers and sisters. That is power to change hearts, to give him the ability to endure. And thousands of years later, we hope in Jesus. Indonesians, Arabians, Canadians, Japanese, South Americans, North Americans, European. I mean, people all over the globe are hoping in Jesus because Paul's power came from Jesus in his weakness. So, Paul's response to all of this, what is he going to do? Well, he doesn't complain. That's what I want to do in my weaknesses. That's what I want to do with the thorn. I want to complain. But Paul responds to God's answer of strengthening grace in exaltation and boasting in his weaknesses, because for Jesus' sake, he's receiving the power of Jesus. Look at verse 9. Therefore, what am I going to do about all this? I will boast all the more gladly. Not begrudgingly, I will boast. Not grumbling, but gladly. And what? Of my weaknesses. Why? Why? Why should we own our inabilities and our weaknesses, our difficulties, our problems, own them before God, and as God gives us room and opportunity, share them with our brothers and sisters? Why? So that the power of Christ may rest on me. Do you want God's power for ministry, for a growing faith and love for God? Do you want God's power? Friend, boast in your weakness. Open up maybe to another brother, another sister about your struggles, and by the grace of God say, but God has seen me through. You know, I can think of people now in my mind who have endured very difficult circumstances and situations. Sometimes family matters, sometimes job struggles, sometimes personal issues or sickness. And I can see people who have persevered trusting Jesus in their weakness. And do you know what? I am strengthened and encouraged by God being faithful to them in their time of need. Well, for Christ's sake, we too can be content in our weakness, our affliction, because this is the means of spiritual strength. This is what God uses. This is how God grows us, but let me just say, this is how God will grow the people next to you, as you, by the grace of God, persevere. Let me give you four things. So as we sort of wrap up and begin to pray, let me give you four thoughts as you engage in spiritual warfare. So don't be outwitted by Satan when hardships come into your life. We are aware now that Satan will often tempt us in those hardships. Spiritual warfare. Difficulties, weaknesses, problems. Let us be aware that temptation will come on the heels of these hardships. So, as you engage in spiritual warfare, let me give you four things. First, remember God's goodness and sovereignty. Remember God's goodness and sovereignty. We read first that the thorn was given to him to protect him from pride and promote humility. And this enabled him to minister in the power of Jesus. God is sovereign over your affliction and your problem, and he is good in it to do you good. You know, we can say these thorns, they keep us from doing what I want to do for Jesus, don't we? This problem keeps me from doing what I want to do for Jesus. Or we may say, you know, I wasn't proud to begin with. Why did this come into my life? But Paul says, to keep me from becoming proud and enabling him to now minister in the power of Jesus. Second, so remember God's goodness and sovereignty. Second, pray. Pray. I'm just taking this right out of verse 8. Pray. Pray for relief. Hear me. Pray that God would deliver you or deliver that other Christian or deliver that person, that God would heal them or pull them out. Pray. But also, not only pray for relief, pray for wisdom. I get this from James. James says, rejoice, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Because why? They're meant to strengthen and fortify your faith. So ask God for relief, yes. But until relief comes, ask God for wisdom in this difficulty, knowing that he's working it for your good. Remember God's goodness and sovereignty. Pray. Third, hear. Hear God's answer to prayer here in 2 Corinthians. Hear. Whether he heals you now or later, or whether you are not this side of heaven, hear God's answer to prayer. His grace is sufficient for you, for your every need, for your every problem, for your difficulty, for your issues. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. The grace of God alone is what we need. Lastly, rejoice. Rejoice and be content in weakness for Jesus' sake. Human weakness is the playing field. It's the arena of divine power. Where does God get glory? With weak people being faithful to Jesus. Where does God get glory? Our weakness is it's the field of God's play. The power of God is at work, is on display in human weakness. And so rejoice and be content, knowing that God is working. Contentment in weakness. You know, Paul says here, contentment in weakness is the only way that we can be strong when we're afflicted. So, why don't you just take just a moment, and as we begin to pray, why don't you pray? Maybe it's something in your own life, your own thorn or weakness or difficulty. Why don't you just think about this passage and begin to pray about that, that God would perfect his power, that God would help you to be content, that God would be at work. Let me also then encourage you to pray for someone else. I mean, we have a whole list right here, front back, of weaknesses. And let me, maybe you want to get this list out and maybe you want to think through this. Begin to pray for these individuals that are experiencing affliction or difficulty or hardship, and pray some of these things for your brothers and sisters. Pray for them in their problems so that God would, his power be made manifest in their weakness. Let's spend a few moments praying, and then we'll pray for these other needs tonight. Let's pray.